Greetings from John Paul Jones Arena, and welcome to another edition of the Virginia Athletics Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff White from VirginiaSports.com, and we are in the midst of a fantastic fall for the UVA soccer teams. The women are 14-0-3, and the men are 13-1-1. My guest today is one of the captains of the men's team, and that's Robin Afamefuna. Robin, glad to have you on the show. I wrote a story about you back in the spring of 2017. You were just a first year then. A lot has happened since then, so it's good to see. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, man. Obviously, this is my last semester, so a lot of academic work with the academics, a lot of work, obviously, with the team, but it's definitely exciting.
So you dyed your hair blonde long before Mamadi Diakite did.
Did
Mamadi steal the idea from you?
He probably did, yeah. I mean, we're friends. I mean, he probably looked at me and he was like, yeah, it looks so good. I have to do it too. But, yeah, I don't know. I think it's who's in well, too, so no bad feelings.
I know he's a big soccer fan and played in high school. Has he ever gotten around out and kick the ball around with you?
Not yet. I know he used to play in the AFC or something, like with a couple of my teammates. I was never there, but we talk about it all the time. Like whenever I see him and we talk about something, like maybe 10% is basketball and the rest is football, or soccer, obviously. And because I know he loves the sport and he actually knows a lot about it,
yeah,
too.
Have you been able to follow the women's team much this season? Sometimes you guys play, or often you play at the same time, which makes it hard probably to see them in person.
Absolutely. Usually, it's like you just said, it's definitely tough for us to see any of the games, but more so towards the beginning of the season is when we actually get to see them. I went to, I think, the first two or three of their games. I think they won all of those games. So, yeah, it was definitely good to see how well they're doing this year.
So the final regular season game of your college career is Friday night, 7 o'clock, Klockner Stadium against North Carolina. You are from Germany, which is obviously a long way from Charlottesville. Will you have any family members at the game?
Yes, I just picked up my mom, actually, from the Charlottesville airport last night, which is definitely exciting. This is the first time she's going to see me play in, I believe, 4 years since my Mönchengladbach day. So, yeah, that's really exciting. One of my brothers who lives in Atlanta, unfortunately, can't make it because he already came to one of our games towards the beginning of the season. But he told me, like, as soon as we make it into the tournament, he'll be there for another game.
Knowing that you will be back at Klockner for games in the ACC tournament and the NCAA tournament, will this senior night be emotional for you, knowing you're going to play there again?
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, like you just said, I know that I'll have at least one or probably two more games there.
At least two,
home games in both tournaments. But just knowing that, like, the journey is coming to an end is really, I don't know, creating mixed feelings, to be honest with you. Just like looking at the fact that I've been here for so long and I'm matured as a person, as a soccer player. Like, obviously, it's nice looking at all of that, but I know, like the environment here, the people I got to know, that, like, all of that is going to end soon. It's definitely like creating sad feelings.
You mentioned your journey. For listeners who are not familiar with your background, can you fill us in on how you made your way to UVA back in the summer of 2016?
Yeah. I came over here, I think, in July 2016. And before that, I played for Borussia Mönchengladbach in Germany. Starting in, I think, 2013 as a U17 player. And, try to work my way up, try to become a professional in Germany because that was obviously my goal my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And my last academy year, started every game, played in the UEFA Youth League, played a game against Sevilla. It was looking really good for me to, like, receive a contract somewhere. One day I actually tore my meniscus in my right knee. And the doctor said it was only supposed to be, I think, a 5 to 6 week injury, a 6 to 8 mm-hmm. week injury, but ended up being a 6 month injury. So I didn't get to play another game for Borussia Mönchengladbach ever since, I think, September 2015. Yeah, and then eventually they told me, "Listen, Robin, like, we don't know if you'll bounce back from that, if you ever be back at the level you were before the injury, and we won't give you a new contract." And that was definitely, one of the worst. Worst messages I've ever received, because it kind of punched me right in the face, just like letting me know that I won't be able to play professionally in Germany. But then, luckily, one of the agencies who kind of connects people, or like students in Germany with universities here in the U.S., reached out and they actually had a presentation in Mönchengladbach and let us know about the possibility that we could go over to the US. And yeah, I ended up joining them. They connected me with UVA, and obviously UVA is such a great school. Academics here are so good. One of the best schools, obviously, in the country. And athletics, we know that, like, historically, the soccer program has always been good. And that's why the decision wasn't actually, I didn't have to think too long about it.
You come from a big family, I believe. I know you have one brother here in Atlanta, but has it been tough to be apart from your family?
Absolutely.
How often have you even gotten back to Germany?
Usually I try to go back, and it actually worked every break, but like sometimes just like for a couple of weeks, so I didn't get to see him very long. But yeah, I'm actually a big family guy, so especially towards the beginning, it was really, really tough. Yeah, I say it all the time. Like, I talk to my mom probably like every day in the first couple of months here, and I actually told her that, like, I don't know if I want to stay for the whole 4 years because it was that difficult. That was the first time I was away from my whole family for that long. But yeah, eventually, like I just said, you'll get used to it. You'll have class. You meet new friends here, new people. People who, like, I don't know, try to, like, make you feel comfortable here. And then eventually you'll get used to the new environment.
You started left back on a defense that has given up only 4 goals this season. 2 of them came in the only loss of the season to Pitt. What's been the key for you guys for your defense? I don't know if it made a big difference, but George Galnovat switched from a 3-man back line, which he'd been playing your first 3 years,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly.
To back to a 4-man this year.
Yeah. I must say, I don't know if that is the biggest difference now, because obviously you always have to look at what suits your players well, like what type of player material do you have, like do your players, like especially your defenders, would they play better in a 3-back system or in a 4-back system? You obviously have to figure that out. I do believe that our 3-back system worked the last couple of years, but now I feel like it was time for something new. And I feel like we all embraced that challenge. And like starting in the 4-back, obviously I played 4-back my whole life before I came here. Wasn't that difficult to adapt to. I feel like the major difference now is how we actually try to make sure that we always put in defensive effort. Because like I think after our first or second preseason game, coach wanted us to focus more on like defensive transitional moments, and that's what we all started to do. And like you can see that, like you just said, only 4 goals in 15 games conceded. That's definitely very well done. And it's not just, in my opinion, not just the defense. Obviously, we have all our defensive moments, like especially defenders. But like when you look at the block Danny Steedman had against Virginia Tech. Just defensive efforts. Like I see Nathaniel Croft slide tackling. I see Cozy making all of those runs. It's really the whole team who's working.
This is Colin Shuttler's second year in the goal. Has he grown as a keeper over those 2 years?
Yes,
keeper. He really did not have much experience at the college level when he started.
Yep, keeper, and definitely also mentality wise. You can just see like how much more confident he is now. It's actually crazy. It's always tough for a defender to have a goalkeeper behind you who doesn't show a lot of confidence, because you're always a little worried, like if they slip a ball through, like is he gonna make the right decision or not? But now with Colin, I feel like we all feel comfortable. Obviously, with like this college system, there are new players coming in every year. Now it's Andreas, who's obviously experienced and a great defender, probably your best defender this year. You have to get used to it. Like, you have to build like a relationship, and like there are probably still situations where like you have a like slight miscommunication here and there, but like at the end of the day, the 4 goals, just the 4 goals that we can see, it kind of show that we do have those good relationships.
You have been, you're a 4-year starter here. When you came, did you feel confident that you would be able to have that kind of impact on the field?
Absolutely. Not right away. Obviously, not when I was in Germany, because I didn't really know what the level was going to be, how good the players were going to be. So I got here, and I would lie if I said the level here is high, like way higher, or like in general higher than like the level I used to play on. Obviously, with the youth league, you play against players who play in the Champions League now, so it already was a very competitive level. But it was really good. So I think I adapted really quickly. The coaches and the players let me know very, very early that I'm going to be a really important part of the team for the next couple of years. So, yeah, like I said earlier, I just try to embrace that challenge, and that definitely worked.
You and Joe Bell are the team captains for the second straight year. Is that leadership role something that's important to you?
Yes. As of, I just talk in German. So for me in general, over the last couple of years, I just try to become, like I said earlier, like a more mature person, mm-hmm. more mature player, more mature, a better leader, but not just on the field. Like, I feel like what I do off the field, or I try to do off the field, is as or even more important than like the actions on the field. Like, yeah, I mean, doing the game, I can shout all the time or talk to the ref all the time, but like trying to like build that relationship with the teammates and trying to let them know that I trust all of them and they can like always talk to me when they need to. There's a lot of work that I have to do off the field, like regarding classes or like rides or like all that stuff, making sure everybody's okay. And I feel like the off the field stuff is really important to me.
Yeah, George talks about that a lot, of having a professional attitude, even though it's an amateur sport in college, that yeah. you know, the more players who approach it professionally, the way a professional would, the better for the mm-hmm. team. Mm-hmm. The team needs only a draw Friday night against UNC to clinch the Coastal Division title. Then it's on to the ACC tournament. UVA has not won that tournament since 2009. And I know the aspirations for the program always are to do well in the NCAA tournament. Is it a big deal for the players, though? You got to the ACC championship game your second year, I believe.
Yep, yep.
What would it mean to, you know, win that tournament this year going into NCAAs?
Yeah, for me in general, like, obviously the ACC is the best conference in the country or in college soccer. So, you know, it's competitive. And, like, knowing now that I believe we're the best team in the ACC, like, we're up there, like, with the best teams in the country, in my opinion. That should definitely be our first goal. We shouldn't focus too much on the NCAA tournament now. But we also know in the ACC, every team, even the ones who are not doing really well this year, like Duke or UNC, they can be really tough to play mm-hmm. against. So every game, we have to really focus on the things we have to get right, and we just have to make sure that we get those W's.
All of the gear you wear, the players wear, has the crest on it with the seven stars, which represent the program's seven NCAA titles. The tradition here is something you're always aware of, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Every day?
Absolutely, 100%. Even if you just walk around on grounds, all that stuff, it's like just representing the University of Virginia is so big. I wouldn't say it's a lot of pressure. Like, for me personally, I just really enjoy it because not many people get the chance to actually be and represent UVA. But also knowing that, like, I see the seven stars every day, also knowing that I wasn't part of any of the seven mm-hmm. stars, just like lets me know, okay, you need to put in more effort, need to put in more work to make sure there's an eighth star coming, which, you know, you were part of.
Your goal this season came on a beautiful free kick against George Washington. I think it got replayed on SportsCenter.
Yeah, number one, actually.
Number one. Who decides who gets to take the free kicks, because yeah. you don't take them all, do you?
I don't take all of them. Usually it's Danny Steeman and I kind of take them from the right side because it's easier
yeah,
for a lefty.
Left.
Danny Steeman from the left side. I used to take a couple of free kicks from the left side too, but that's not really my spot. So, yeah, I mean, I already scored last year against Clemson, which I thought was an
right.
even better free kick. I scored of a free kick last year's preseason, so I really feel comfortable with those situations.
You are from Germany. You have teammates who have roots in Jamaica, Scotland, New Zealand, England, Norway, Sweden, Zimbabwe, other African countries. Your locker room is kind of a melting pot, isn't it? Kind of a mini United Nations.
It is. But it has been all 4 years.
Yeah.
It's actually incredible. Like, I really can't compare that part to my locker rooms, or like locker room cultures I used to have in Germany, because here you just get so many different inputs, different perspectives, different opinions. But it's really nice. And like I said earlier, that's one of the things that helped me mature more, because I'm more aware of like people's cultural backgrounds and all that stuff. And yeah, I love it. Like, just if you came to our locker room, it's really so funny. Like, we laugh all the time. We have sometimes silly discussions all the time, but...
How often do players break into their native languages?
It depends. The thing is, Axel and Andreas, they can communicate. Like, Andreas can just talk in Norwegian, and Axel in Swedish, and they understand each other. So they do it a couple of times, and I hang out with them all the time as well. So I always see that, but like usually it's actually just English. Like if it's not like a conversation about languages, where like people try to like ask other people about like their languages, we don't really like that's not a big issue.
Have you met other Germans here?
Yeah, recently.
And I think one of our field hockey coaches.
Yeah,
Ola.
Yeah, I already talked to him like I think last year. So I've known him for a while. Two first years on the football team. Karim and Luke.
And Luke. Yep.
Yeah, from Paderborn and Köln. I talked to them. I met them over the summer, and I asked them like I was so mad that I didn't come here earlier because like until now I didn't really like have many German people to talk to here. There was one girl on the rowing team last year, Christina, but she already graduated. I don't know if I'm missing anybody right now, but that's kind of everybody I know.
The most recent World Cup on the men's side was in the summer of 2018. That was not the best tournament for Germany, as you know. I know that probably took place when a lot of guys were out of town, but what was the dynamic like among the team? Because a lot of teams are from countries that were represented and playing, some of which got to the knockout rounds. Was that a fun time? Do you watch the games together?
I actually wasn't here. I was actually at home during the World Cup. But I have to start with that story where I think it was actually last fall where USA played Trinidad and Tobago and lost the game or tied the game. I don't know, but didn't qualify for the World Cup. Oh, my God, man. The locker room, oh, my goodness, man. I think I was one of the first people to get out of there because everybody was so mad, obviously, which makes sense. But, yeah, actually, during the World Cup, like, everybody, like, I don't know, kind of made fun of me because Germany was so bad.
You've got a lot to brag about historically.
Absolutely. But I know we'll bounce back in the future. So, yeah, but it was definitely a good time.
You've played a lot of soccer in a lot of different places. Have you played with or against many guys like Daryl Dike in terms of the combination of size and skill?
Never. I must say I have one good friend, one good forward who plays in the third division in Germany now. He used to be the guy and probably still is like the best forward I ever played with, but Daryl is actually the first one I've ever seen who was actually close to him. His physical abilities are insane, obviously, but at the end of the day, he's a great soccer player.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I feel people forget. He starts to make better decisions on the field all the time. When I think about, I don't know which games, but, like, just in general, how he used to play last year, sometimes I felt like it was a little immature. Sometimes I felt like he didn't really know how to control his body or use his body. But now I feel like he's more aware of it, and he's starting to make all the good decisions, and you can see it not only in the goals but also the assists. He has so many assists where like people just have to tap it in, or I don't know, but he always finds himself in good spots. Not I already told him like if he keeps going and if he stays stays in the right mental state, he's going a long way. He's gonna have a bright future.
What have you enjoyed most about living and going to school in the United States?
For me. Also, what I said earlier with the locker room part, like meeting different people, people from, like I said, different economic, social backgrounds, I said the same thing earlier, but even in class, like having those conversations in class, you start to ask yourself questions that you never really asked before. Before I came here, I also didn't really know what I was going to do if the professional contract doesn't come. Like, I was never aware of what my future would be if soccer wasn't it. Like, and yeah, now with global development studies and all the conversations and relationships I build with people, with professors and students, I kind of felt like I finally know, okay, if soccer doesn't work out, obviously I hope that I'll be professional soon, but you never know. If that doesn't work out, I still have something that I could be proud of. First of all, my degree, and also I know that I'll be working somewhere or like trying to get a job somewhere in a field which I actually enjoy working in.
What's been the biggest challenge for you here?
At first, probably the language, but that went away after a couple of months. I was just like...
How fluent were you when you got here?
Not as fluent as I am now, but I got along. I was just really nervous all the time.
Right.
Because yeah, I have a couple of uncles who also live in one uncle who lives in the U.S. as well. So I used to like talk to him even in the past, but like I never really felt that comfortable about it. obviously now where I'm just exposed to the whole situation, I have to speak in English, so that's how my English got better. But in general, I would say just the cultural differences. I still see them every single day. There are still many things where I'm like, oh man, like, I know we wouldn't have those conversations in Germany, but I don't want to say it's worse, because it's just like how people grew up. It's just different.
It's just different.
Like, I feel like you just have to accept that, like, yeah, like the way you grow up, but the way the things that you are taught are just different in different countries. And yeah, learn to respect that.
What's your favorite place on grounds or around town away from this athletic complex?
Oh yes, Sushi King, 100%. All my teammates can confirm that. Like, we already had many days out, or like dinners or post game meals at Sushi King. It's my favorite place by far. I got introduced to it, I think, a year ago, a year and a half ago. Ever since then, every time I have time, I have the money, and I can actually like eat a good meal, I'll go there. You'll see me there.
You have been a fixture on the ACC's academic honor roll. Your major global development studies. Were you a serious student when you got here, or did that kind of develop once you got in this environment?
I've always been a really good student.
Yeah.
Yes. Obviously, I mean, I don't know how you can what it would be in a GPA, because obviously we don't have GPAs in Germany. Mm-hmm. But I was always in the A-, B-plus range my whole life. So yes, I know I have to put in a lot of work, especially here at UVA, because it is competitive. They really expect a lot, especially also being a student athlete, where you have a lot of, I don't know, like other things going on. So you have to know how to manage your time well. But like eventually, once you get used to it, once you know how you kind of have to organize your time, organize your classes, when do I have to do which assignments, you'll be able to accomplish things as well.
So you graduate in December, right?
Yes.
And then, if all goes well, start a pro career in 2020.
Hopefully, yes.
I think you've mentioned, though, you plan on going back to school at some point, even if you're playing soccer, right?
Yes.
To get a master's?
Yes. 100%.
What would you like to do when soccer's all over?
So I actually already looked at a couple of universities in Germany. The thing is, over there, since I'm a citizen of a country that's part of the European mm-hmm. Union, I don't know if all of the universities, but like most of the universities in the European Union actually like offer it to you for free. So I wouldn't have to pay over there. Although the universities are still really good.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked at many master's programs in the kind of the humanitarian field. There's one, in Sweden, which is like at the Uppsala University, humanitarian action, stuff like that, like kind of like going into the direction of what the United Nations do, because I'm really interested in, work even across the globe in other countries, in places where people don't have as many resources. How can they live? How can they survive? Mm-hmm. What input can we give them? What can they tell us? Because obviously, because like a country is not as well developed, even if, I don't know if developed is the right word, doesn't mean that they're behind. That they don't have as much knowledge as we do. Most of the time, or like many times, they actually have a lot of more like different knowledge.
Yeah,
how can you kind of approach those problems? And that's definitely something I'm really interested in.
Well, good. Well, I'm sure you will do well in whatever path you end up taking.
Thank you.
Hopefully soccer lasts for a long time. Thanks again for your time. Best of luck tomorrow night, Friday night against Carolina, then in the postseason. Looking forward to a long run that hopefully ends in Cary.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
For information about the soccer game and all things UVA athletics, visit virginiasports.com. I'll be back next week with another podcast. Until then, thanks for listening, and go Hoos.